Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is from the Romans text just read. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, we don't know much about James. He appears to be the first one to have asked for first place, and he's also the first one to be martyred. Sometimes it's not so good to be first. But I'm sure James is enjoying his reward. And then we have this Romans passage, a Romans passage that's used to comfort people quite often, a Romans passage that actually does quite a nice job of telling us that we're special. God predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. And he does other things for us in this passage. And yet, as I was reading through the passage, so familiar, I ran into this part. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Oh, Paul, can't you stay positive? So it's positive and positive, and God is with us, and nothing can overcome us, and then all of a sudden, we are the sheep. Not the shepherd, the sheep. And the slaughter's coming. Wow, kind of pulls us up short, doesn't it? Kind of grabs hold of us and says to us, wait a minute, something else is going on in this text. If even facing death for Christ all day long, if even being sheep to be slaughtered is Christian, what are the implications of that for having a Lord and Savior? Oh my gosh, I thought Jesus was there to solve problems. And yet, we look at our Lord and Savior who says, can you drink the cup I drank? Can you bear the burden I bear? And of course, on our worst days, we're just like James and John. Sure, Lord, lay it on us. And God does. And we don't like it because it's painful and it hurts. And the burden he bore wasn't much fun. Certainly, at the very least, we must consider the expectations of our easygoing Western lifestyle in Christ Jesus. Paul makes discipleship here a matter of hardship with the Lord, who knew both hardship and deprivation. Or as Jesus said, the servant is like his master. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you also. Going back to the beginning of the chapter, Christ is depicted as a sin offering, sent to condemn sin in the flesh. Paul then declares that the mind dedicated to the flesh is hostile to God and cannot please God. We are given life and have an obligation to the Spirit of Christ who dwells in us to take Paul at his word, and this Spirit keeps us alive in Christ. Paul acts as though and declares that without that Spirit, we would be dead. It happened to Ananias and Sapphira, right? So our obligation to our Lord is to live this new life, not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. This same Spirit makes us new and able to cry out, Abba, Father. And the evidence of the Spirit working in us is that we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Paul then tells us that the whole creation has been suffering with the fall, distorted by our sin and the curse. And using this logic, why shouldn't we suffer as well? Paul argues, as we are also part of that creation. The whole creation awaits this liberation from decay, and even we groan with this burden, and the Spirit answers with appropriate and God-pleasing prayers from us to the Almighty. You know, this is really a deep treatment of what Luther would later style the theology of the cross. Paul's passage does not yield to glib intellectualizing. Instead, it turns our whole life, even our whole existence, into a bearing of the cross of Christ, calling us to flee from those things that would deprive us of the rewards of Christ's lordship in our lives, and instead humbly and dutifully bear that cross. Paul is not saying that our bearing of the cross saves us, far from it. He is saying that we are saved, and saved people seek the cross. He puts us on that cross not as saviors, but as co-participants. He does not make our sacrifices equal to Christ's, but he does bring us into participation in the sufferings of the body of Christ in the world, the church. Our flesh does not like this, though. We want a Lord that will immediately solve all our problems, a Lord that will bring us creature comforts, not the kind of comfort that might go with a lordship of Christ. We seek freedom from pain and want, not realizing that these also are tools God uses in molding and crafting us. And it is in this crucible of difficulty, trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword that the early church found its validation. Remember, for example, how the disciples responded in Acts when they were worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. How different this is from our way of thinking about things. Christ, of course, is also the answer, as he has suffered for us and gives us the strength and the spirit to bear up under these difficulties. He has gone willingly and steadily to the cross, and he has taken our burdens and our sorrows. But if we claim the Lord Jesus Christ, we must expect the cross as well as other things. Paul's radical redefinition of lordship is also a radical call to discipleship. To have a radical Lord means to have a radical opportunity to follow. Here is a Lord who ignores all the distractions of this life to minister to those around him. Here is a Lord who focuses on the will of the Father. Here is a Lord who moves both willingly and steadily to the cross. And here is a resurrected Lord who stands with us in all our hardships of our suffering and crosses in this life. So yes, our discipleship gives us the privilege of being sheep who are also privileged with sacrificing our priorities and lives for the kingdom. But it also gives us sonship in that kingdom, and when the sacrifice is over, a glory in the world to come. It is precisely in this discipleship of all these things that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So now, when we eat and drink this body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, we partake this sacrifice at the cross and are indeed strengthened by it. Our unworthiness is made worthy by this very sacrifice, and once again our Lord and Savior stoops to serve us, bearing up our sins and giving us his Spirit. And we, in that Holy Spirit, rise as enabled disciples that cry out, "Abba, Father, thy will be done." Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.